John. It's 1 John before you get to Jude and Revelation. Tonight we're going to start with verse 3. Tell me when you got it. It says this, "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Keeping the commandments show that you have a relationship with the Lord. Now, before that you were saved, maybe you heard about the Ten Commandments. How many ever heard about the Ten Commandments? They're written on some public buildings. Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled it. When the law was given, sin was exposed and we all died. We couldn't even keep those Ten Commandments. How many agree? The truth is that it exposed sin and we all died. Jesus came and fulfilled every one of those commands. Then he added one more. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind is someplace we need to be. As a Christian, there's where you need to be. And then God will turn that love towards one another. Amen. The Bible says that if you love God and hate your brother, I'll get into that later on, where does the love of God reside in you? There's no way that's going to happen. But when we keep the commands, it's starting to show. It's amazing that when you live for the Lord, you can keep the commands of God. True? Even not having to concentrate on going down the list by living for the Lord, you seem to stay away from those things. The only time that we have a problem is when we get weak in the flesh. How many still have some flesh around yet? How many of you got to crucify that daily? Look at verse 4. This is what he says. If we say that we know him and we don't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. Now that word that he's a liar is more intense than that. It means this, that he deceives his whole self. The Bible says if you don't keep that, if you say that, it's not just a single act. It's his whole being. He becomes a liar. Many times people have a profession of faith but very little fruit. I mean, it's that we have to produce fruit in our life. It should be evident as a Christian. Now, everything may not be till its fullness, but it's growing and maturing. The longer you serve the Lord, the more you get his word in you, the more the maturity process happens. The problem is this. When a novice has a lot of word, but not much wisdom, he gets puffed up. Oh, I'm preaching too good here. But the truth is that when we have humility in our heart, we can grow in that grace. The word merely means this, that sin lies and reigns in him. It says this, if he doesn't keep the commandments, he's a liar. The truth is not in him. The emptiness of such person is really that it's the status of the individual. It's like they're empty inside. When you get the Holy Spirit in you, you have everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. How many of you say you got the Holy Spirit in you? That's an incredible thing. Man, it's like you have God in you, the hope of glory. It's like the earnest, the Bible calls it the earnest of the Spirit. It means like the down payment of all that God has for you. That one day you'll receive up in the glory. But we need to take advantage of that. But it's amazing to me that you could be filled with the Spirit and still walk in the flesh. It's like those things are in battle with one another. You have to crucify that area. Amen. You also have to be sensitive that after a spiritual move, a moment, a time in God's presence, that you don't quickly get in the flesh. Oh, I'm preaching good. Because it can happen. Somebody can cut you off when you leave the parking lot. Or you have to turn in the parking lot for whatever reason. Somebody made double lanes you have to cross to get in here, coming from northbound. Say amen. I mean, how many ever done that thing where you're looking down the road, saying, I'm going to make the driveway, and you're kind of timing it out. Ah! How many ever had to drive by and turn around and come back? Oh, yes. You can get into flesh real easy. Amen. I've had times where I've tried to turn out of here going northbound and have to wait for the light two or three times because nobody would let me through. How many think that'll work on you? Even the pastor has to crucify his flesh. Say amen. In 1 John 1:8, it says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. Now, that doesn't mean we continue in it, but the Bible says that we ask him and he covers our sins. Look at verse 5, 2 John verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Here why we know him. Notice that we keep the word. We have to stand with it. We have to say, you know what? This revelation of his will is mine. We have to keep the word of God. When we come here tonight, listen, grab a hold of that word. It's like, where is the love of God perfected? By keeping that word. We know loving God is the first command with promise. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. This fulfills all the law. But when it comes to the word, we just can't be a hearer only. We have to be a doer of it. We also this, how many ever heard the word, he who has an ear, let him hear? How many ever heard that saying? It's possible to be in a service, hear God say something, and not even pay attention to it. And there's been times where we just kind of lock in and go, yeah, I need that. Yes, that'll work for me. Because I believe every time we have a service, there can be a revelation God can give you. I can speak a word and God could take you down a journey and fill in a whole lot of those things. Because that knowledge of God is there, but it's heeding to his word. But there's also correspondence there. Lord, I need you. Amen? Amen. It isn't a one-time shot. Amen. Lord, I need you. We need to demonstrate our love by keeping what's important to God. Yes. He says, my word's important to me. The commands are important to me. Then, Lord, if it's important to you, it's important to me. Shouldn't that be a confession for every Christian? Then that needs to be in there. Then we also need to share that one with another. Right. If we say we're a believer, then you know what? You belong to God. Then what's important to God? Let me read this to you. In 1 John 2:15, I'll get to that another time. It says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's like trying to hold on to those things that God said, listen to me. Don't hold on to that. Come on, is this truth? When I look at Jesus, how many knows he does love us? Yes. Have we fathomed the depths of that area that God so loved? Amen? Yes. Now at this time, Marcia, come on up here. Nope. I want you to hear this testimony.
Oh, I love that, Pastor, how you led into that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be too bright. Well, I don't know how many times I've been up here, but, you know, years past, I would never have the courage to step forward, you know, and say something. But this is like the third or fourth time, and I guess this in me that, you know, I'm praying to God more. And even over the past couple of years, I've prayed, I think I've told you this before, where I wanted to just get in the Word. You know, the TV and Facebook and all of this is getting to be a pain. I mean, I love it, but, you know, it's like, no, that's taking up. I mean, it's like I'm being emptied out and filled up with God's goodness. And now, I mean, I come in here, well, I did smile before, but it's like sometimes I think, do they think I'm nuts because I'm smiling all the time like this? And I've got energy, like, you know. And first of all, I have to tell you this, that the Lord has healed me. I mean, I haven't gone back to the doctor with this bacteria that was supposed to have been on my lung that kind of took my breath away every time I exerted my energy, you know. And the pills, I said to them myself, no, these aren't going to work. They're too powerful, you know. And I know my body. And so she said, take them for 2 weeks. And I said, okay. Well, I think they were interacting with the Prozac I was taking to help me sleep and to help with a little depression. And I thought, oh no, I felt like I was all twisted. I'd wake up all knotted and everything, you know? It's like, this is like, there's a demon in me. I mean, because I was so knotted. And so one day, it was a week after I had taken this pill, and I said to myself, that's it. I'm getting off it. I don't care if I'm not listening to the doctor. I'm listening to the Lord. This has been taken care of at the cross. I am healed. And at the same time, and I don't recommend this to anybody, please, because you don't go off an antidepressant pill like that. But I did. And I didn't get a reaction or anything. I'm back to the way I was. My mind is sound now, and it's clear, and the Lord speaks to me, and I listen to him, and he is the darling of heaven. I wish there were more words in the dictionary or in me that I could say, because sometimes I sit and I think, you know, oh, the words have got to be better for you, Lord, because I can't describe you, you know, but he's just wonderful. And it's like I can't get enough, and I don't want this to end. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm obnoxious, and I could care less if you do at this point, because I'm not obnoxious. I want to bounce around all the time. And I can't wait for spring so I can start walking again because I'm breathing fine. I'm sorry I don't do good with a mic. One important thing, Pastor. Oh, and I know, you're rubbing off on me, Robert. So anyway, I have to tell you, I've been very hesitant over the years going to women's ministry or things that I was not familiar with. But I took myself there because I thought, well, if I just sit, maybe I'll, you know, something will soak in. So anyway, I've been going to women's ministry since Lynn. And I know she doesn't like accolades or anything like that, but I'm sorry. It's been wonderful. She's been in charge, and she's come up with some great ideas, but I'm sure the Lord has given it to her in prayer. Anyway, this first year, we are having women in our group get up and give their testimony. And I wish there was more women here. But anyway, word of mouth. They have to start coming. You have to start coming. Even if you feel like you know, you're nervous and nobody likes you, we all love you. Don't ever think nobody doesn't care about you, because I know they do. And I'm sitting there because I'm soaking in what other people have learned that might have been just like me before I, you know, blossomed out. So anyway, I just have to say, you have to come to this. And we have partners now. This is the best part. Lynn keeps giving us good things, you know, and the Lord does, I know that, but it's like a surprise every time. Wonder what we're going to do or what we're going to say or, you know, sing or a poem like Deanna, that was lovely. Anyway, I just have to say that I'm not going to shut up about this. Women's ministry, we need each other. Yes. And we have to speak up no matter who walks through the door. If there's an opportunity, we have to ask God, please, Lord, is this an opportunity where you want to use me? Because I am tired of trying to run my own life. Amen. It doesn't work. And anyway, Kathy is now my partner. I mean, all the ladies I love, but it's like you and I think we think alike.
I'm sorry, Pastor.
All right. Good job, Marcia. Let me read this to you. Where the word of God is perfectly fulfilled, the love of God is perfectly fulfilled. Perfect love shows itself in perfect obedience. There's not a Christian that's reached perfection, but we're always growing in that direction. As we're being obedient to God's word, his love is matured in us. Our love for the Lord matures, so does our love for one another mature. Look at verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Here why we know we're in him. Listen, when we keep his word, we know we are in him. In 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not grievous. If you say you love the Lord, then keep the word. That proves that what you're saying is real. You're maturing in those areas. Now, we've all had times when we were a new Christian that we may have done something or stepped out on something in obedience or thought it was the Lord or asked him to do some strange thing. But as we mature, we start to realize that, hey, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. But now that I'm an adult, I speak like one. Every church needs seasoned saints that are in the midst, as well as new converts coming in. The seasoned saints will help change the diapers. Say amen. Come on. They're thick skin. Hello. Not quickly offended. Come on. Obedience to God's command is the mark that you know him. You're saying, I'm keeping these commands. I'm living for the Lord. It's not that I have a mental checklist. Commandment number one, commandment number two. No, it's not legalistic. I'm abiding in Christ. If you abide in him, look at verse 6. He that says he abides in him should also so walk, even as he walked. Now, Jesus walked a pretty awesome, pure life. Would you agree? But if you're a Christian, then your walk should be his walk. Now let's gauge it across all of Christianity, all the fellowships. Can you see how we can miss it by just saying it and not living it? Christians need to walk it out. We have a duty and an obligation as Christians to walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:5. We walk even as he walked. Now, I believe personally it's the greatest walk we'll ever have. He leads us into all truth. Amen. This morning at the our first service this morning at 10 a.m., we talked about, how many of us, we have a prayer meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you're ever off on work someday, come on out, check us out. They brought down the house this morning. But we dealt in those areas that our seed will be blessed. God will bless the righteous and their seed. How many of us, that's the true fact. You have children, their lives can be blessed too because you're serving the Lord. When we walk in the light, that's a concrete representation. We walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We can't do this. We can't live a sinful life and expect fellowship one with another. It just doesn't work. We can be acquaintances, but sin still divides even in that arena. But man, when we're walking in the light as he's in the light, you ever notice the fellowship's really sweet? And you have something in common. Things are there. God's working. He started to work. Well, Paul said this in Ephesians 5:1. Be therefore, children, followers of God. Be that way. Paul said, imitate, copy, follow this way. When he spoke in Ephesians 5:2, he says, walk in love even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Now, when it comes to a church fellowship, we love God, but we also love one another. That means we're not quickly offended because love covers a multitude of what? Amen? Sometimes we may not be that lovely. How many ever woke up grouchy? How many still wake up grouchy? You got to get through that grouchy time. Let me see your hand. You wake up kind of grouchy. How many wake up just bubbling happy? Da-da-da-da-da-da! All right, some of you, that's cool. How many of us, if you're grouchy and that's happening, it may make you more grouchy? When I look at our life, every conduct that we have, every step of our life should be, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. Jesus was our shining example of absolute obedience to God. If we profess we's on his side, we abide in him, we walk in him, we walk after his pattern and example. If we say this, then we follow that. It makes it simple. John's trying to bring this revelation out. John says this, John chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Lord, I want to be that person. Look at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old command, which you've heard from the beginning. He's saying, listen to me, I'm going to show you something. You know this, it's already been established. How many knows that even from the beginning? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors yourself. That's been ingrained in the Jewish society for decades, for years, for millennials. Been speaking that, love God, love. The first thing he said, but sometimes we miss it. We miss it in the big picture. That you just can't say, hey, I love God and I don't care about people. We have to look and say, you know, we care about people. We have to get to the place in our heart that we're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Even somebody who doesn't like you, you pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You start to gauge your love. How do you treat somebody that mistreats you? Come on. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to run with them and go out and have some coffee with them, but how do you really respond? How many of us, we all need to grow in that area. I'm not pointing my finger at anyone. We all need to grow in this area. That's why Jesus could be on the cross, being whipped, beaten, spit upon, and say, Father, forgive them. Oh, talk about great love. If there's anyone who could have been ticked off, it could have been Jesus. Aren't you glad he didn't say, Father, suck all the oxygen out of their life and send them all to hell? Aren't you glad he didn't say that? Aren't you glad that wasn't in him? Because he still had flesh too. I mean, it was that his body was beat up, yet he walked in the power of the Spirit. Oh, that's our God. We also ought to walk that same way. Oh, Lord, help me. I got to mature. Amen? It's no new command, but it's the command that you've already known. He's reiterating this over to them. Jesus came. Why? He came. His blood, his love, his blood spilled. Everything he did was for our benefit. Amen. And now this love walk, we should walk. Now, here's a misnomer that the devil's trying to seed in the church. And he's doing a good job for people who don't know the word. Well, God loves everyone. No one's going to hell. Okay, that's not the truth. He's as loving as he's also just. And he's also as holy as he's loving. And since no sin will stand in his presence, you must deal with the sin. That's a true fact. And see, the world holds on to that. Well, you're supposed to love everyone. That's true. But love here, you can be over on this side and not understand the love of God. The love of God was in Christ Jesus. The only way I can treat people the way I should is because the Holy Ghost is in me. It constrains me. It keeps me. Where would you be without Jesus? Some of you wouldn't even be here, true? Some of you may not even be alive. When we walk after Christ, the love we have one towards another, it's inside us. It's working. There's no separation there. We have to look at that, that the Holy Spirit is in me. He's in you. There's no separation there. Then how I treat you really does matter. My words need to be seasoned with salt. There's enough that brings people down. How about encouraged today? I want you to leave from this service encouraged, strengthened, and made new. Amen? It also has to be a place for a hospital for the hurting. Now, like many of you, I've been in a hospital a few times. There's a difference with bedside manners. Yes or no? I've had some treat me unbelievably bad. And then I've had some sit on the bedside and just talk, say, here's what's going to happen, here's what I'm going to do. It makes all the difference, true? If the church is going to be a hospital for the hurting, then when they come in, how many of you ever had an attitude because you had to go there? You didn't want to be treated. Come on, it's sometimes an irritation to go to the hospital or go to the doctors. Like they make an appointment and they want you to be there, but then they don't see you when they told you to be there. What's up with that? My time's just as valuable to you, and plus I'm paying you to be here. Everybody wave your hand and say, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But the truth is that's part of it, amen? It's like going to the DMV, their department, and all of a sudden you look up there and there's 100 numbers up there. My wife and I walked into the Secretary of State the other day. I kid you not. We went there 20 minutes after they opened. I looked up. There was 97 on the board. And I looked in there, and there was a sea of people. Some were standing next to the wall. I'm like, oh, glory to God. Amen? Then I saw one of those little kiosks there. Ooh, yes. You mean I can get my tabs out of that? Thank you. Say amen. But you can struggle a little bit there. You can get in the flesh. Or nobody in here, you're all good. There are a lot of things can set us off, but if our love tank is full because we're walking in that, the word's abiding in us, you know what? We can endure a whole lot more than we ever thought possible. Amen? Amen? Amen. Notice in verse 7, it says, what you've heard from the beginning. Obedience to God's word must be heard over and over and over. This isn't the first time you've heard somebody preach from 1 John 2. But we need to hear it over and over. It's like you've heard it again. You've heard it again. You've heard it from old. You've heard it anew. God, keep teaching me. Amen. You can never exhaust the word of God. I'm going to go through 11 verses. And it took 20 pages to go through 11 verses. Amen. And I'm not even going to exhaust even that area. Look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. The things which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. The true light now shines. 1 John 1:4. In him was life and the life was the light of men. Darkness must make room for the light. Amen. The true light has already shined. It shines already. No perfect, listen to me, person on planet, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. That means when you come into the room in the spiritual dimension, light is shining. Amen. And the enemy will recognize it because he walks in darkness. Also, people who will see you may not like it because their deeds are evil, so they don't want to come to the light. Some people will have an attitude against you, and you may not even know why. Not that you're looking to cause problems. I've seen it in personal families where all of a sudden somebody rises up. Like, man, what's up with that? Yeah. Don't take offense to it. They could be seeing a little more that's shining. Yeah. Right. Amen? We don't see it because it's like covered in burlap. But in the spiritual dimension, you shine because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that cool? I'm no longer in darkness. The darkness had to make room for the light. It's not the other way around. Every time a light is lit, the darkness flees. That means if you're just that light in your home, you're lighting your family, even if it's a candle, you'll still see it for miles. Is this good? Now, I don't have time today, but you know what? The angelic host enjoy coming to church too. Say amen. I had this revelation 30 years ago when I used to preach and there'd be three people in the room and I'd prepare for hours. And then sometimes there'd be one person, and that person would feel so bad. And I said, Lord, I did a lot of preparation for one. He says, that's good. He didn't sympathize with me. He said, that's good. Glad you did it. But Lord, oh, everybody's perfect in here. He said, but what you don't see is every seat that's empty, I fill it. Amen. You never preach to an empty room ever. Amen. Isn't that so cool? How many think that's like cool? So I'm glad you're here. It makes room so it kicks an angel out and they need to go. They don't mind it either. Amen? Amen. Is this good today? Yeah. Look at verse 9. He that says that he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even now. If you say that you love God and you don't keep his commands, the truth's not in you. You can't say, hey, I love God. Yeah, he's Lord. Yeah, he's Lord. I hate you. Or see your brother in need and just go, yeah, whatever. No, we need to make a difference there. There are different callings in that area. Maybe you can't do a certain thing, but bless God, you can sure bless it. Amen. If nothing else, you can pray for it. I know Ron and Dawn aren't asking everyone to go downtown, but you can pray for it. You can partner in. How many of those that you still have a benefit in the area and you still reap a reward with it? Yes or no? But it's your heart, you care. If you say this, you're walking darkness and the truth's not in you. That means in your vessel, you possess no truth in this area. When you look at darkness, darkness means sin. It's the atmosphere of the sinful. Amen? Verse 7, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But if you don't walk in the light, there's darkness. And it's gross darkness. Oh, man, I'm so glad I didn't die in my sins. I'd have been separate from God. I'm here glad that you got saved. We need to have that for others. We need to see eyes open. Today's world is like, many of them don't even have even a thought towards God. You know, when I read the book of Revelation, I can see the scene already set to take place. Amen. It's like the hearts are getting there, totally. The technology is already there, totally. Amen? Yeah. I read an article about Switzerland the other day, that Switzerland has a currency problem with physical money. So many people use a card that the physical money has dropped in the whole economy. How many of us, that's a reality? Last days, there'll be a one world currency. Can you all see that happen? I mean, it's already there. We already have that. Our phones do more than supercomputers used to do. And we have it with us everywhere we go. But notice men's hearts, they're continuing. But the church is going to be more glorious than ever. It's not going to be this battle to the end. Satan's going to get some blows in God. No, God's Lord of all. He's just waiting for the church to arise and shine. Amen? The church needs another dose of the love of God flowing through it by obedience to his word. When a lady wants to marry a dude and she really loves him, she'll keep herself for him. If the church loves God, she will keep herself for him. No questions asked. Yet the bride is not even at the altar. She's at the bar. She's doing her own thing. She's not even dressed or fit. Either we love Christ and we're for him, or we're against him. Boy, that's a hard statement. Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus said, "Any man who comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." If you're going to be with Jesus, you pick up your cross and you follow me.
Amen.
Is this good?
Yeah.
Look at verse 10. "He that loves his brother abides in the light and gives no occasion for stumbling." I love that. If you walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. But it also illuminates your steps. When we sin, we stumble. True? How many ever tripped over something, and man, you even almost, you all knew it was there, but you still tripped over it?
Amen.
You ever tripped over something, and all of a sudden, boom, because you didn't expect it to be there?
Yeah.
Come on, we've all done this. How many ever tripped over, I've tripped over carpet. And I've looked back and go, why did I, it must have been bunched up, I don't know, I tripped over carpet. But when it's well lit, you know what, I can see the stumbling box. But I'm going to make sure I don't throw one in front of you. Catch you on the way. Boom. No, I'm going to make sure the path is clear. If I walk in the light, you know what? The path is clear. I love that I can see how many times we've groped around in darkness. Now, I've done this. How many ever had your power go out? You're trying to find the light switch, and you know where it is, but you're going... Or you got to go down the basement and the flashlight just doesn't work. Now, I'm glad we got our cell phones now. But remember when you used to grab a flashlight? The batteries were always dead. I don't care. Amen? Well, you finally find that place, Lord, I need some light. I need some light. You want to have a life change? Lord, shine your light on that. Expose that area for me. God will bring the searchlight out and expose your own heart to you. Say, Lord, I need to deal with this. God will deal with it. If you pray, Lord, judge me. Ooh. Lord, try my anxious ways. Ooh. Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, show me. Those scary prayers are powerful prayers that God will do in love. He will gently show you where you need to change. Aren't you glad he's going to blast you out of the water? No, I can't breathe. Man, he's going to strike me down. Lightning's going to hit me. No, you'd have been dead a long time ago. His love has been covering you. When I exercise brotherly love, means I'm strengthening and confirming that new life in Christ. If I abide in his love, listen to me. Abiding in God's love is really simple. It means this. It's the result of being in love. If I abide in love, that means I'm being in love. I'm just continuing that out. Abide in his love. That means I'm in love with him. We need more Christians to say they love the Lord their God.
Yes.
And then demonstrate it by helping people too. If I love my brother, I'm going to walk in the light as he's in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. Isn't that fellowship sweet? Man, I love that about Christianity, that I get to have fellowship with you now and up forever. That's a good deal. We just started our eternal relationship a little early. And we'll get a chance to meet our other brothers and sisters and those that passed on ahead. And if you think about it, heaven is so current that even earthly things, there are things that are revealed. I believe they know some things. But when somebody passes from here to there, do you know what? They know you. How many of those they can say, hey, I saw your son the other day. He's living for the Lord.
Amen.
How many think that'd be great encouragement?
Nothing
defiles up there. He's not going to bring up your sin. But the truth is that, hey, it's so current today. Look at verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, not knowing where he goes, because darkness has blinded his eyes. When it comes to praying for people, pray God open up their eyes. Darkness has blinded their eyes, just like all of us in this room before we were saved. Or we're not walking where we need to be. How many knows we're putting that on?
Amen.
When we have blinders, we'll miss it. And sometimes we can even get tunnel vision. It can be right in front of us and still miss it. So we need to pray like I covered the soils. Every time I preach, every time you speak a word, it falls on four soils. Jesus said, that's a reality. Pray that heart change. Pray that they're receptive to a word, that their eyes are open. How did you get saved? When was that day when your eyes were opened and you realized, man, he's it. Lord, thank you. How many knows that revelation came, true? It may have been a while ago, but sometime you knew that your sphere was evil and sinful, but now you're walking in the light. Amen. Here's a statement. An unloving man doesn't see or know where he is going. He walks with darkened eyes in a dark way. But I can't expect the world to live for the Lord. So let's not get upset when they live a certain way, because we all had our conversation back there. Amen? We need to pray, Lord, I want their eyes to be open. Sometimes we lose sight because the consequence of that is a selfish and unloving life. It's like you lose sight. It's selfishness. We did everything in selfishness, didn't we? Anybody here agree with that? Man, we were selfish by nature. Sometimes it even ruins areas. But when Christ comes in, he opens that up. That's good. Verse 11, it says that he who hates his brother walks in darkness, not knowing where he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When I look at that blindness, his eyes are blinded. In John 12, verse 40, he has blinded their eyes that harden their hearts, lest they should see and understand. Isaiah 6, verse 9, go and tell this people, you have heard indeed, but you haven't understand. You've seen but not perceived. In Matthew 13, verse 14, this fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, they shall hear and not understand, seeing they will not perceive. Amen. Jesus told them that, hey, I'm going to come, I'm going to speak, and you're not even going to understand it. And there's no better preacher than Jesus. Amen. No one more filled with the Holy Ghost than Jesus. Yet they didn't understand. That darkness is gross darkness. We have to pray, Lord, work. Let them see a great light. Amen? I love it when my neighbor over here, this guy's great. He really cares about the church. He'll help in any area. He goes, man, you must have had a rocking service last week. I could hear that music all the way into my door. I'm like, cool. Amen? I mean, it's God's words going out there. He doesn't complain about it. He's just like, well, that's good. Maybe I'll learn those songs. Amen. We invite him out to everything that we have available. Sometimes he comes, sometimes he can't. But bless God, the word is being preached. The songs are being sung. Yes. Amen. The Holy Spirit does a better job at convicting than we do. Yes. He's the one. Because we can point out flaws and things. But how many knows that? Man, I got all those too. But when the Holy Spirit puts his hand on, he deals right with the area. Right. He knows how to crack the shell and not break the nut. Right. Amen? Come on, we're all like that. We're a bunch of jelly beans in a big old jar, and God just spills them all out. There we are. In Acts 28, verse 26 says, go to this people. They are hear, but shall not understand. See, and they shall not perceive. Why? 2 Corinthians 4:4. For the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest they believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Amen. So our real battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Yes. Lord, open up those eyes. Yes. How we're going to get the gospel to them is we love them like Christ loved them. Yes. And then when it comes together as a church, we love one another as Christ loved the church. Yes. Because if the world is going to come in, they're going to look around with a magnifying glass. Are you real about what you say? Then you'll demonstrate what you're saying. Amen. People can pick on a, you're not ignorant of those things too. Come on, you have discernment in your heart. Let's not make the world so stupid either. Oh, that's good preaching. They may be foolish concerning the gospel, but my dad, when he comes to service, can tell if you're genuine or not. How many of us, we need to be genuine. If we're in Christ and we're loving one another, we don't have to put it, we're just, that's who we are. That's the biggest thing, that's who you are. No one can say anything. They may try to say something against it, but it's real because it's real in you. The world needs to see that we love one another. Amen? Hereby you know that we're his disciple. Well, how do you do that? You keep his word. You keep those commands. It's the maturing process of that word that works in us. Have you ever changed because God's word's in you? Absolutely. It isn't a one-time shot or like, oh, that was good. Well, that was a nice sermon. Maybe I'll get it. If you ate that way, boy, you'll starve to death.
Amen.
You have to feed that spirit man. And it doesn't have to be a gorge meal. It can be a little bit every day.
Yes.
True? Amen. Sometimes we try to do a marathon burn through and then all of a sudden we don't read it for a month. Oh. Take a little portion of it. Keep sowing it in there. Amen? Let that hunger be there. And you'll find yourself spending more time there.
Amen.
Now, if you love people, you'll pray for them. True?
True.
You won't even have to be asked.
That's right.
You'll just do it.
Yeah.
Lord, I'll cover them. Amen?
Amen?
I want my love perfected and matured. I really do. I want to walk in a mature love in this lifetime. Have I arrived? No. But bless God, I'm growing in that arena. The word of God. John's starting to speak this revelation to them. Listen to me. You've heard it before. I'm telling you again. Grow in this area.
Amen.
The things that you encounter, some battles that you have, will mature you. And people will test your love too.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't come like a setup. Hey, you got to test in 4 hours. Be ready. No, it's whammo. If you're filled with the Spirit, have a time every day to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It builds up your faith. Remember praying in the Spirit? Yeah. That's a lost thing in Christianity today too. We're doing too much in the flesh and not enough in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Listen, praying in the Spirit's like lifting weights spiritually. Boom. Not only will it help your understanding, man, it'll keep you where you need to be. I have that gift from God. Lord, help me. If you're not filled with the Spirit, listen to me. It's as simple as a prayer. It's a promise of God to you. I encourage that. Amen. And I'll close with this. If the enemy has blinded people's eyes, then the glorious gospel should shine on them, Lord, and open that they can see. But if I'm walking in the light, Lord, let me have my fellowship one with another because you carry the same light I do. It isn't two headlights, it's one. It isn't two searchlights, it's only one. Oh, please get this. So as we come together, we create a giant searchlight for the lost to see. That every time we come together, it's another illumination. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. It doesn't get dimmer because we come together. It gets brighter. Then what happens is that it melds so much together, the individual is gone, but the light is there. That's what it's like to follow Christ. You lose your identity in Him. And His light shines. Too often in the church, it's just been an individual or a ministry or a party or this person. And you know what? They've stuck out and everyone's been attracted to the light and haven't been part of the light. I've been saved long enough that sometimes when a searchlight comes off, everything flies in. Oh, hello.
Amen.
But when it lights over, everything dissipates into whatever. There's nothing lasting. We need one another.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. This is a nameless, faceless revival that God wants to bring.
Yes.
He wants to use His church, members in particular. Let's live our life such a way that when the Holy Spirit shines a light on that area, Lord, I'm quick to repent. In my prayer time now, and I used to see this years ago, people used to come to service expecting, Lord, I pray that the pastor gives an altar call because I want to get saved.
Amen.
I mean, as the Holy Spirit does the work ahead of time. Pastor, you're going to give an altar call? I got somebody here that needs Jesus.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We need to have that anticipation there. Amen?
Yeah.
It's okay to somebody to stand up and say, you know what? Can I get my life right with God before service starts? Absolutely.
Amen.
Is that real here?
Yeah.
Is that the revelation we carry?
Yes.
Then let's walk in that, church. Amen? Amen. Do you enjoy tonight?
Yeah.
Father, help us, Lord Jesus, that we walk in the light as you're in the light. And Lord, your word is true. If we say we love you but hate others, Lord, we walk, we deceive ourselves. Truly, our whole being is deceived. But if we walk in the light as you're in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Lord, we're matured by your word. Lord, let us walk in your word. Lord, make our love mature, Jesus. Mature us, oh God, as we spend time keeping your commands and, Lord God, walking in your word. We know the end result will be maturity. Help us, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord God, more than ever in agreement here, you'll pour out your spirit like never before. Lord, that your bride will make herself ready. That, Lord, she'll look at the seriousness of the hour. That the cleansing will be there, Lord, that she'll start to focus her life and attention on living for you and awaiting that day. Now, Father, bless your people as they go. Lord, strength and power to be upon in the name of Jesus. Lord, fulfill your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.